Weak domestic property fundamentals prior to COVID-19, coupled with the economic fallout of the pandemic, is weighing heavily on Growthpoint. The property group provided its tenants with rental relief, but has had to increase its provisions for bad debts, as local bad debt provisions alone grew by 218 million during its full year. Headline earnings took a knock of over 49%. Net asset value is down 8%, and the group has opted to defer its decision on its final dividend payment to later this year. Company CEO Norbert Sasser joins us now to discuss the dynamics impacting the numbers and outlook moving forward. Norbert, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So Growthpoint has had to, as I said, raise its provisions for bad debts after experiencing a surge in arrears. How bad is it out there? Because a combination of bad debt write-offs and provisions rocketing to that 236 million rand mark is seriously knocking you back.
Yeah, hi, Alicia. Thanks for having me. And it's pretty tough out there. As you can imagine, the last quarter of our reporting period, April, May, and June, was right in the eye of the storm. And I have to say, you know, a feature of these results, as negative as they might be in terms of the drop in distributable income of 14.8% and the drop in distributable income per share of 16. The biggest chunk of that by far is actually due to the performance of the South African operations, and over 80% of that is directly attributable to the impact of COVID-19 on the results. And I think a couple of points to make there. One is the relief that we offered our customer base. I think it can't be understated that we provided rental discounts, you know, to our customers to the tune of 277 million rand. We, in addition to that, provided rental deferments of over 150 million rand, where we've given the tenants the ability to pay that back to us over 3, 6, 12-month period. On the income statement, as you point out, the combined impact of the discounts and the improved or higher bad debt provision, and then our direct expenses, they weren't that massive, 7 million in the period. But, you know, 520 million negative income statement impact, which is directly linked to the relief, if you want, that we have provided our customer base. The second largest contributor to the negative impact of the results was just higher interest rates linked to, you know, to higher gearing and linked to some of the additional investments that we've made both domestically and internationally.
Norbert, I just want to take a step back to the battle that you're fighting against rent defaults. I mean, how flexible or accommodating are you needing to be on your end with, you know, tenant vacancies rising from 6.8% to 9.5%, renewal success rates decreasing as well, to 66.4% from 70%, and average rental reversions moving deeper into negative territory?
Yeah, no, we have to be ultimately flexible, I think, at the moment. We are definitely price takers in this market. With that level of vacancy, and we're not the only landlords out there with high vacancy rates. So the customer at the moment has got a lot of choice. I must say, just in the last couple of months as we've come out of level 5 down to level 2, many of our customers are less inclined to want to move in this environment. So those that were potentially looking to move to another building and are maybe a bit more, a bit keener to just stay put, albeit that, you know, they're still obviously able to drive a hard bargain because, the state of the market as a whole.
Having said that, are you worried about any long-term trends that develop out of all of this, whether it be with regards to retail or your office spaces, where work from home seems to have become somewhat of a thing now?
Yeah, I think there are two definitive trends that have come out of this particular, lockdown period. One is the work from home dynamic in the office space. Before going on air, you and I were chatting about it a little bit. It's clearly not fun, working from home. Whilst companies have come to the realization that they can do it if they have to, I don't think too many actually really want to do it. So I do believe that in the fullness of time, you know, there will be a move back to the office. But one thing is for sure, employers are going to have to be much more flexible in the offering that they offer their employees. You know, some might want to come to the office only 3 days a week. Others might, want to, only come once a week, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to have to be a lot more flexibility. And that may change the nature and layout, if you want, of some of the space that we provide. The other dynamic in the retail space in particular is obviously online. No doubt that in lockdown, the move towards online or the trend and the people who never would have tried online were forced to try it. I don't think it's always been a good experience. My own experience wasn't necessarily good. So, but there's no doubt that online would have got a bit of a tailwind.
Yeah.
I have to say that yes, those dynamics are going to have an impact. But my biggest concern, or our biggest concern, is more the broad macroeconomic picture, not only the global recession, but in particular the South Africa and the South African economy and the South African consumer. That, to our mind, is going to have a much more negative impact in the short term on some of our key fundamentals.
So with that, as part of your strategic review for, your short and long-term strategies, Norbert, are you having to rethink what's actually sitting in your portfolio, or do you hold on for now and ride out the current cycle of falling asset values and rising gearing levels?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of verbiage in our announcement around, looking at or focusing on liquidity and both short term and then long term, more on balance sheet strength. It's fair to say in this market that disposal of assets is not easy, but we are still able to sell some assets. I think the bottom line message is that the board are currently considering literally every single option that's available. Whether it be offering a drip on the dividend. You started off by saying that we postponed the decision on the dividend, but we did say that we would pay out at least 75% at the end of the day. So we're still considering a number of options, and those options include sale of assets, potentially looking at our offshore assets. It includes the drip on the dividend. It includes equity potentially as an option. We're currently looking at the full spectrum, and at the end of the day, hope to find sort of a balanced approach to all of it and a balanced answer that addresses both liquidity and balance sheets.
Of course, it's all a part of adapting, Norbert, I guess, to this new reality. We're going to have to leave the conversation there for this evening, but thanks so much for having joined us.